Oriole Park at Camden Yards 30 years after Cal Ripken Jr. broke the all-time consecutive games record, and we're with the Ironman right now. And Cal, looking back 30 years, is there a lasting image in your mind from that night that you that stays with you all these years later?
There's a lot of moments that you get in a flashback sort of way. I mean, coming in the dugout, and you got Dad's plaque over there now. So, I mean, you stand right above here and point up to the skybox that was right behind us. And that memory was pretty – there was no words that were said. It was just body language. It was pointing at each other, acknowledging, you know, the record that he was there. But it felt like there was like 1,000 I love yous or something coming through that. So that one, Rafi and Bo pushing me out the corner of the dugout, that was cool. My kids throwing out the first pitch and then showing them the shirt, I thought that was really cool. Playing really well and winning was super important for me. If I was going to choreograph how that night would have gone, we'd be battling for the playoffs. We'd be first place in the tough series with California. In the end, California was battling for the playoffs, and we were kind of back a little too far. But we played a nice spoiler role. So if we're going to celebrate, I mean, you're celebrating. The reason you get to play every day is that you're deserving of playing. And so I wanted to do well personally, and I wanted our team to do well, and we both did it.
Well, you did well personally. Two home runs. And the team, you mentioned this, I think it's a really under-talked about thing that against a pennant-contending club in the Orioles, who had a slightly below 500 season, maybe played their two best games of the season behind Scott Erickson and Mike Mussina, who both pitched gems, and then I think the Orioles hit 10 combined home runs in two games.
You know, we had a good team, you know, and sometimes that's how the season wears out. But I was remembering... Like, in my memory, I thought we swept all three games. And recently, I just understood we lost the first game. But I did hit a home run late in that game off of Jim Abbott. And then Mike Mussina gave me that batting tip and said, you know, why don't you do this at the plate? I tried it, and it worked. And so that got me ready for 30 and 31. And I hit a home run in both of those games. So we had the firepower. We had the power. And Erickson, you mentioned Erickson and Mussina. I mean, two really quality pitchers. So... We had the ingredients, but we just didn't put it all together.
One last image I have from 21-31 was DiMaggio, who did not speak a lot, but you want to talk about the magic of baseball, someone connecting the dots between his former teammate, whose record you just broke. Oh, by the way, DiMaggio might be the only other guy who has an, quote, unbreakable record. Maybe, maybe not. He said that night all records can be broken. But you want to talk about the magic of baseball and kind of this connection between Lou Gehrig, DiMaggio, and a great night in Baltimore with you.
There's something really majestic about Joe DiMaggio. I mean, his presence, the way he walks. You know, I had a chance to see him at other events prior to that and get a chance to know him a little bit. But there was this eerie connection, you know, that and I think in some ways, and maybe I'm getting way too philosophical on this, but the atmosphere during that year was we just came off a strike and cancellation of the World Series and a lockout. And I think the fans were still trying to find something that they really liked. And I think a lot of them sort of attached to the concept that I was going after this old record when baseball was a sport, you know, not this big form of entertainment or not this big form of business. And it seemed like Joe DiMaggio, you know, made that work and the presence. I think Hank Aaron was here. I can't remember all the people that were here. I mean, obviously Bill Clinton was here both nights, 21-30 and 21-31. It did have a really festive World Series type opening day type atmosphere. And it felt really good to compete under that environment, but also do really well.
We're with number 8, Cal Ripken, and on September 6, 2012, it was the statue unveiling here, 46,000 people, Orioles-Yankees after Labor Day in a pennant race. Your brother Bill gave to me the best speech I've ever heard to the critics of the streak, and I never heard it laid out so firmly and so succinctly. And to paraphrase, he said, "The selfish ball player takes off when they're in a slump, day game after a night game, and Roger Clemens is on the mound, and is okay and doesn't want to go 0-for-5 with three punch outs. the selfless player, the good teammate, says, I'm still the best option. If I am, I can still help this team in some way. I thought that was the most articulated well point to any critic of the streak.
Yeah, Billy's gifted, and he knows his baseball, but he also can deliver a message. And he never really could understand that, because sometimes he witnessed, you know, some of the negative sides. And I would say between 1,000 and 1,500 games, it got pretty negative at times. Even from other players that played in the game, is that I was putting my desires above the team's. And I think Billy articulated pretty well, it's actually the opposite of that. And that's what I felt really good about, is that you show up each and every day to try to meet the challenges of today. And Dad made sure that you came to the ballpark each and every day ready to play. And the managers created the streak. That's who did it.
Last one. And to me, Ben McDonald's told so many stories about this over the years. The big question I have, obviously there's a huge amount of determination and work ethic within you, but are you in fact an Iron Man? Because Big Ben says that you were hit with fastballs that didn't leave bruises, that you would go and do things that didn't actually physically affect you as it would other players.
Yeah, Dad was like that. I mean, Dad got hit in the face with a line drive throwing batting practice one time, went to the hospital to see if his cheekbone was broken or something, came back, and you couldn't tell whether he got hit or not. You were saying, where'd you get hit again? And so, yeah, I was blessed with some good genetics. Foul ball off my leg, which I did 1,000 times. Some other person might hit it off their leg, then it would swell up really big and would get to a problem where they couldn't play. Sometimes you couldn't see a mark. I was blessed with being able to heal really well and maybe endure some of these nagging injuries that would take other people out.
Cal, thank you. It's going to be a great weekend.
It's going to be fantastic.